What's good, everybody? It's your boy Anonymous, the author, aka Anonymous Rap Guy, and I am back with another little podcast episode, man. I'm excited. I'm happy you guys are joining me today. I'm happy you guys are ready to jump into another Anonymous author little world spin, if you will. Welcome to the spin zone. I feel like I'm O'Reilly right now. I heard Bill was doing some big things, so shout out to Bill O'Reilly, man. Even though I disagree with almost everything you said, I love hearing people with opposite points of view. But that's for another day, man. Starting off, we got a little quote by Joe Rogan. This is going to be a little bit of a motivation-inspiring episode, I hope. If not, if I get off the rails, oh well. We'll just see how that goes. But yeah, man, Joe Rogan's still the man. Joe Rogan's still inspiring. Still got some quotes he's been dropping. So definitely been tuning into his show. I hope you guys have been as well. Check him out. Motivation is especially as far as the huge podcast deal that he's gotten going over there on Spotify, even though some people feel like it's been limiting his POV and what he wants to say. But hey, I support the grind. I support the hustle. And yeah, I definitely hopefully get there one day as well. Give me a little exclusive deal. But anyway, man, let's jump into this quote. Let's jump into this episode, man. Let go. The quicker we all realize that we've been taught how to live by the people that were operating on the momentum of an ignorant past, the quicker we can move to a global ethic of community that doesn't value invented borders or the monopolization of natural resources, but rather the goal of a happier, more loving humanity. Sometimes you read Joe Rogan quotes or you hear him say certain things and you just sit back and you have no words. Like, you're just at a loss for stuff, man. It's just like, yo, what? Where did that come from, dude? Like, well, like that was like, that's so very profound, man. Like, a lot of the so-called borders or things that divide us really don't divide us as much as we thought they did. Like, especially with this whole, I'll just say this Trump thing, for example. When he came into office, he ran on the Republican ticket, and in all honesty, he was more of a populist than he was a Republican. I mean, he had some ideas that crossed even over to the Democrat side. And not, like I say, a good idea is a good idea, but a lot of the people that went for him and a lot of the people that went against him strictly went for him or against them based on imagined or fake party lines that didn't exist in some instances. I'm always one to think that if somebody has an idea that you completely and utterly oppose, then you oppose the ideal, you don't oppose the person, because everybody has certain quirks or certain personality traits or certain thought processes that you're not going to agree with wholeheartedly. Hopefully they're not, irreconcilable differences. Hopefully it's something that you can see the point of. Hopefully it's not something like racism or sexism or some of the isms that you just really can't ever agree with on a certain level. But if it's just something simple like, hey, we disagree on the best kind of cheese, or we disagree on the best kind of meat, then it's like, hey, we still agree that we like meat. You know what I mean? Like, in certain instances, it's like, hey, we all agree that we love America, if you're playing the political game. But it's like, how do you go about fighting for what you believe in and fighting for what you don't believe in and making sure those values or ideas don't get into certain nooks and crannies or certain offices or certain places? It's like, I can understand that voting and feeling like that, but never to the point that you want to physically harm a politician or, bring physical harm to yourself because, or a friend or a family member, just because you don't agree with certain ideas or certain things that they come up with. I mean, it's always the idea of, hey, I love you, but I don't necessarily agree with everything that you're doing. Like, a perfect example to me would be, if you have a child, let's just say you have a parent, and you have a parent has a child, child one, and this child one has done very obvious crimes that, like, let's say rape. It's like, listen, you're my child, and you came from me, and I feel like I'm always going to have that attachment to you. So in some aspects, I'm always going to love you for who you are, but those actions have put me in a place where I cannot ignore them. I have to do what's right and turn you in. I have to take you to the authorities. I have to make sure that you see your day in court, or that you get sent to jail, because some of the things that you do just aren't right. Like, I always love you, but I don't agree with anything that you're doing right now. And you've got to be held accountable for your actions. Now, that is an extreme example, obviously, but that's just the idea that, you know, I don't want any I don't wish any death. Well, you might wish death upon someone if they rape someone or murder someone you love. But like I said, it's an extreme example. Maybe not. Like I said, I'm not the best at these metaphors, man. Maybe I should have came up with something a little chiller. Okay, so you got bacon and you got ham, right? I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, back to the quote by Joe Rogan. It's just all about, like, this is going to sound like a millennial thing or Gen Z or Gen X or whatever you want to say it, however you want to say it. But living in these days and times, you have to take for granted that we're living in these days and times. You have to accept that some of the past thinking of some of the past orchestrators and originators of some of the things that we hold dear to today had some crazy and ridiculous ideas. They had some absurd and damn near unforgivable mindsets because of the time period and the era that they came from. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy or appreciate what they've created or what they've brought, but it's like at the same time, you definitely have to be recognizable or conscious or conscientious of the fact that, hey, things have changed dramatically even in the past 10 years, let alone past 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So take everything with a grain of salt. Appreciate things for a sense in a vacuum that you know, a lot of people look up to Lincoln. But at the end of the day, he had some crazy ideals as far as slavery and as far as how certain things should be operated. Like you said, he wasn't necessarily against slavery as a whole. He wasn't one that wanted to completely end and abolish slavery. He just wanted to starve it off. He knew over time probably it would die out. He just didn't want it to expand and it begin to envelop the northern states. But that's not to say that he was out there every day wagging his finger and yelling and screaming at people saying, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing this. I mean, he even said, hey, I don't want to take your slaves. So it's like, you like things in a vacuum, like from an African American standpoint, which I am one, you definitely have to be like, I appreciate you for being a president and coming up with the Emancipation Proclamation and definitely freeing slaves because you had the power and you had that ability. But it doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he ever said. Doesn't mean I have to agree with any of his ideals. Doesn't mean I have to look at him with a certain glazed over look to ignore everything that he's ever done. Same with George Washington. He owned slaves, but it doesn't take away from the fact that he was one of the original founders of the country. So it just you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Realize where they're coming from. Realize the perspective that you have, and realize the times that they were living in. It like I say, it doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but definitely appreciate it for what it is. And as far as the Joe Rogan quote, man, I agree with that idea 100%. Like I don't think that the way that people, I mean, I've touched on this a million and one times, I feel like, but the way that people monopolize resources or monopolize certain areas or like segregated communities, not I mean segregated, like rich and poor. Like if you don't make a certain amount of money, you can't even come in these stores. Or if you don't have this on, you can't even enter in this club. Or it's like, listen, from a certain aspect, it's like, hey, I understand that if you've made this much money, then you want to have other people with like minds around you or like hustles or like someone you can learn from. I totally understand that. But to exclude people out just because they don't have the opportunities that you had, or they don't have the income level that you had, or they don't come from certain circles that you had, I feel like personally is ignorant. I feel like that you can't really say that you can't even say call yourself a person. You can't even call yourself a human if you're not willing to have human interaction. Granted, I'm antisocial, so coming from me, this is a little far-fetched, but like you have to have that human interaction. You have to be willing to talk with everybody. Like I'm willing to talk to a homeless person as much as I'm willing to talk to somebody that heads a Fortune 500 company. Granted, I haven't had the pleasure of talking, like my ratio to talking to homeless people to talking to Fortune 500 definitely skews I've talked to more homeless people, but if I ever get the opportunity to talk to someone of a Fortune 500 company, hey, I'm all ears, man. Just like I'm all ears with a homeless person. Like you can't go into the world thinking that it's certain people that you don't have to associate with. Like you can always learn something from anybody and everybody. Like that's really what the human experience is sharing information, learning from other people's information, which can come in the form of experiences, life experiences, or the roads that they've walked, just depending on how you want to phrase it. And that's all that life is. It's just, hey, help me help myself. And whether that be through you sharing a story or me just listening to you or me just entertaining who you are, maybe it's me, you know, taking you out to get something to eat or whatever it is. It's like, we've got to be able to entertain people in our day-to-day lives that, they reach out, you know, I mean, that's just a basic thing that, that I've been feeling. But let's go on to these topics, man. I've got a couple of topics to touch on today, that I've been seeing in the news. So, let's just jump right into them. First off, Jeff Bezos is stepping down from Amazon. Completely came out of nowhere. You guys know that I'm big into these stocks. I'm big into what's going on in the markets. So I'm into, like, I don't listen to a lot of, like, calls, like the end of the quarter calls when they I can't even think of what it's called. But anyway, the investor calls, I get shareholder calls, shareholder meetings. When they usually public disclosed companies, they'll have the audio available of them just running down the balance sheet or their statements and just going over a little bit of information to let everybody know where they're at, where they're going. A lot of times this does impact the stock market on the day that they have these investor calls. But for the most part, it just is what it is. It's just a natural part of the business. I worked at a company that was that was traded on the publicly traded company, and we had I sat in on a couple of those meetings, and it's nothing too crazy. I mean, you would think, like, when you hear it, it's like, oh man, it's got to be a super secretive meeting. It's nothing at all. Like, you're literally just sitting around a phone or in front of a computer screen, and you're literally just going over statements. I didn't say anything. I just literally sat there and was like, oh, okay. And just kind of like was soaking it up, and I had information ready for the CEO and stuff. But I mean, it really wasn't anything crazy. It was more educational experience, and sitting in on that meeting kind of gave me insight into why I think Jeff Bezos stepped away from his position. I think that, you know, being the world's richest man, well, previously being the world's richest man and having his hand in so many other avenues and ventures, like, you guys know, he's trying to go to space. He owns the Washington Post. He's trying to do so much with the environment and things like that. So he's got his hands in a bunch of different jars, if you will. And I think that Amazon, being the CEO specifically of Amazon, would have brought him some unwanted ire, some unwanted hate, some unwanted questioning that he just wasn't up for. Like, when you get to that level, I mean, because he's still going to be an executive chair for Amazon, so he's still going to have a very big say in the company. He's still going to own the majority of the stock in the company because he started it, and that's part of his, you know, you're a CEO, they're going to give you a ridiculous amount of shares in the company, especially if you're the CEO that started the company. So he's still going to have a huge, massive say in what's going on at Amazon. It's not like he's just stepping away and you're never going to hear from Jeff Bezos again. He's still going to be like running it from the side or running it from the shadows, if you're a conspiracy theorist like myself. He's definitely going to have a very powerful voice in the company. So don't think just because he's stepping away as CEO, he somehow loses his power or loses his authority, or the company is going to be going in a completely different direction than what he wanted it to. I mean, he does lose the visibility of being the CEO. So he's not going to be on all these calls. His voice isn't going to be, I mean, I guess you could say Alexa is the voice of Amazon these days, but I guess you could say in a certain sense, he's not going to be the voice of Amazon, but he still very much so is going to have a very strong voice in the company. But I think having his hands in so many different things, having his hands in so many different arenas, he didn't want to deal with the incoming Democratic government. He didn't want to deal with, if you guys are familiar with, I believe his name is Pajat of Google. He didn't want to be called in front of Congress or the Senate to have to testify on what his company is doing and if he had any leaks in his company that were providing information to certain people that shouldn't have had it, or if he's oppressing people in his company. He just didn't, I don't think he wanted to deal with that. He doesn't want to have to go in front of, I mean, no one likes to deal with the government. I mean, let's just be honest. If you're in America and you've ever had to deal with the government on any level, no one enjoys dealing with the government on any level, whether that's dealing with a politician, whether that's dealing with having to file paperwork, whether that be through taxes or unemployment or, you know, anything. If you're looking for a government rebate for something that you did, if you've worked for the government, I mean, it's just not good. I used to work in certain aspects, and it's horrible. It's just, oh my goodness, it's a nightmare. So I think he just wanted to step away from Amazon and say, hey, I don't want to be in front. If you guys do call somebody to have to testify about everything that's going on at Amazon, I really don't want to have to be that fall guy. I really don't want to have to answer questions about these other businesses that I have, having things about my personal life dragged out into the light that I'd rather keep private. I mean, everyone wants to keep things private. Even you know, somebody making 10 bucks an hour wants to keep their life private. So a billionaire absolutely has things that he doesn't want other people to know about, or I mean, I'm sure the divorce that he went through left a sour taste in his mouth as far as people throwing out all types of information about him and seeing what sticks and dragging his name in the mud just to drag his name in the mud. And he was probably like, yo, I'm cool on it. I've got all this money. I'd rather just have a peace of mind. You know, he's single now. Well, for all intents and purposes, he's single. I don't know if he's, you know, courting a young woman, but he's probably like, look, I want to smash, and I don't want to have to worry about my name being in the tabloids if this lady is you know, seeing me on the daily. It's like most billionaires that aren't parts of huge companies that we don't know about, or that run their businesses from the side, we don't see or we don't know about. Like, you could probably name the, if you think of five billionaires, you probably think of people that are in the limelight. You probably think of an Elon Musk, a Jeff Bezos. Like, you're thinking of people that are, whose face that we see every day. It's like, it's a lot of billionaires that just, we don't know. They just play their back role. They go to job. They work every day. They probably do a couple of interviews here and there. But for the most part, they mind their own business. They make their money, and then they go home at night and do what it do. And I don't blame them. I definitely don't blame them. I'd rather, what J. Cole say, man, I'd rather make $1 million and no one know who my name is. Like, I definitely feel that. Like, let me mind my business at the crib. Let me count my money. Let me smoke a bleezy. Let me take a drink. Let me do whatever, man, by my lonesome. I don't want nobody knowing what I'm doing. I move in silence, man. Y'all need to buy your business. Hey, get you some, okay? So, shout out to Bezos. I mean, in that aspect, I definitely have to say I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, I also heard that he was taking tips from some of his workers. Now, I don't know how true that is. Like I say, Amazon, and from the CEO to accounting, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that kind of get fudged down the road. So, I mean, if he was doing something illegal, if he was doing something wrong, and they find out, hey, you drag his butt into court and make him testify. But just for somebody that wants to step down, that wants to do their own thing, hey, man, I definitely support it. You made your money. You made the company a Fortune 500 company. Your Amazon brings in hundreds of millions of dollars annually. So do what it do, man. I don't hating on that at all. I ain't hating on that at all. Something that I am hating on is Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know if you guys have seen Lil Uzi Vert, man, but this dude is tripping. He got a $24 million, I'll just say, precious stone. I don't know if it's a diamond. It's like pinkish, so I don't know what the official name of this gemstone is, but we'll just call it a pink diamond, implanted in his forehead. And apparently, something went horribly wrong, and he has to get it surgically removed. And it's going to cost him a pretty penny, because if he doesn't have it removed the proper way, apparently he can get very sick and possibly die. That's what he posted on his social media. That's what he posted online, that he has to get the diamond removed. And it was like a thing of blood dripping off his forehead. So first off, I just want to say, I hope Lil Uzi Vert is all right. I pray for him. I hope that he can get it removed. I hope that everything works out fine, that there's no serious damage taken. He's posting it on social media, so I'm guessing that it's nothing too serious. It's probably just irritated, and he needs to get it taken out because it's starting to irritate him. So with that being said, hey, prayers and thoughts out to Lil Uzi Vert, man. Do the damn thing. I hope everything gets taken care of and you back to making your money. Okay, with that, after saying that, what made you think that implanting essentially what sums up to a stone underneath your skin, because it's in his forehead, like he had it surgically implanted, so they had to cut open his skin and implant the diamond, and I'm assuming it's not just a diamond. They had to put some other things underneath his skin to make sure that it held intact. What in what world was that going to, like, listen, people who do this body modification stuff, I support whatever you want to do. to make yourself feel better and to make yourself happier. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy doing it. But that don't mean that you're not going to get criticized. It don't mean that you're not going to get talked about. If it's really for making yourself feel better, then understand that people are going to talk about you. I mean, it's just, if you post it online, people are going to say something. If people see you out, people are going to think something. So, Lil Uzi, what you doing, bruh? I mean, I know they say shine bright like a diamond, but they meant that figuratively, bruh. Like, they didn't literally mean, hey, get you a little flashlight, just point it at your forehead and get that diamond in there and just start shining. Like, people taking stuff too seriously, man. Like, it's 2021, and it's just getting crazier. We are just getting crazier and crazier as a people, as a society. I don't know where to go from here, y'all. I really don't know where to go from here. Like I've seen the ones, like, I knew somebody in high school, a young guy, obviously he's a young guy if he was in high school with me, but he had the, I forget what they're called, but it was like four or five little, like, beads almost. It looked like it was some type of metal that he had implanted at, like, the base of his skull. And I just thought to myself, if that gets infected, you're going to die. Like, it was right around his brainstem, right around, like, the spinal column. And I was like, if that gets infected, you are going to die. And he was a good-looking guy. But my point was, like, why is it at the back of your head in the base of your skull? Who is going to see that? Like, if you are walking towards someone or you're having a conversation, no one's going to see these things in the back of your head. So I didn't understand what they were for. He said it wasn't for a religious purpose. It was just or a spiritual purpose. It was just something that he wanted to do. And I'm like, man, these people, these tattoo artists and these, they are making a killing. I remember back in the day, it was like, they used to be like, yeah, it was like a whole hole in the wall or something. Or you would throw like tattoo or piercing parties and it would be like, okay, make a couple bucks here. But now these people are making bank. Just cashing out on these people that want all this stuff done to them. And I support it, man. Like, if someone, what did they say? During the gold rush, the people that make the most money were the people selling the shovels. Like, look, if you want to do something, most of the people, like, if everyone goes out for the gold rush, invest in shovels. I think that's the way it goes. I completely messed that up. But meaning that not everybody's going to get the gold. The first few people, maybe, but after that, like, maybe 1%, like, they're going to make the money, and then everybody else is just going to be stuck holding the pay in the dirt. Like, that's how you have to think about it. Like, that's how you have to go about these certain things is, like, if they want to do that to themselves, don't you get it done, but learn how to implant it and implant it to somebody and cake off of it. I knew somebody that was doing tattoos who didn't even have permanent tattoos. Like, they were literally temporary tattoos. They had a couple of, like, religious henna cultural tattoos. I keep saying religious, but cultural tattoos, I think they're called henna, which is done with ink, which after a while does fade. Like, after a few years, it does begin to fade. And, you know, I think after 10 years, it's virtually gone after so many years passes. But that was something for their culture. And it's like people these days are just like on a whim. Like, man, I really just want to get my left leg chopped off. There's a whole fetishism, apparently, of like people who willingly get body parts amputated because they think it's attractive. And I'm just like, that's something that I try to understand. Like I said, I got my own fetishes and interests that I'm not going to talk about here on this podcast because, like I say, I'm minding my business and I want y'all to mind your business. But maybe someday it'll come out that people will figure out what I'm into. But until that Dateline interview comes up, I'll be asked, so what are you into, Mr. Anonymous? Hey, until then, mind your business, okay? But I try to put my mind into a lot of different places on fetishes, and that's just one I just do not understand. You have a perfectly working body and mind, and you're just willingly going out there, you know, chopping off legs for a fetish, or people that, I don't know if you guys are familiar, people that are into, like, passing on certain STDs to each other, like, voluntarily. Like, hey, I don't have it. I want to get it. Could I sleep with someone who has it because I want to go through the experience because I want to? It's like, huh? Like, what's happening here, man? Where are we right now? This is what we're talking about. But I shout out Lil Uzi Vert, man. I hope he all right, but I don't understand why. You a millionaire. Like, he had the face tattoos and everything before he became rich. So it's like, now that you're rich, why keep going with it? Like the whole, what's his name? DC Young Fly. My man got the tattoos removed because he was like, look, I'm trying to be in movies. I'm trying to do the thing. I'm trying to get my hustle on. It's like, the hustle never dies. And if you're just doing all this crazy stuff, people are like, I can't mess with it. But hey, man, that new generation, man, they're doing what they want. I sound like a Flight from my YouTube. Hey, this new generation, man, I don't know what they're doing, but hey, that's what they're doing, this new generation. But yeah, that's what they're doing. Speaking of doing what they're doing, Courtside Karen, LeBron James and Courtside Karen, she apparently was, you know, I was about to say rapping, was apparently cussing out LeBron at a Atlanta Hawks and Lakers game, and I just could not care less about this whole situation. I don't care from LeBron's point. I don't care from her point. I don't care from her husband's point. I don't care. Like, her whole thing was LeBron was talking to my husband, and I told him, hey, you don't talk to my husband. He's my husband. And I'm like, so two grown men was having a conversation, and you just butt in? See, ladies, by all means, protect your man. But if a 6'8", 260 dude is cussing you out, I mean, is cussing your man out, and you choose to interject yourself into the conversation, I'm going to look at you like you crazy, okay? Your dude is handling whatever he's handling, okay? He's in the midst of handling, like, hey, bro, chill out. Don't be, hey, you trash, or you can't shoot, or you not balling. And then she just want to come in, and she got him kicked out. Like, I feel like if LeBron and him was having a back and forth, it's like, hey, it's whatever. But she chose to take off her mask and cuss Bron out, and it's like, why did you take it to that level? Guys talk trash. Like, this is what we do. Like, it's just something that guys do. And coming from, like, from a wife especially, it's like, my job is to protect you and to make sure you're secure. If you yelling at LeBron, now I got to take it up another 6-7 levels because I can't have nobody cussing my woman out. I can't have nobody disrespecting you in front of me. So now I got to take it to a level 12 and 13 where me and him arguing was just at a 5. Like, we wasn't going to do nothing. Like, we just talking, Matt. Like, look, I can't tell you how many times, like, you just get into, like, verbal disputes with another dude, and it's like nothing's really going to happen. If it does, it does. But you don't expect anything crazy to happen. It's like, man, get you out of here, bro. You trash. You even, especially in a basketball game or, like, a sports game, it's like, yo, we talking. We just having a dispute, but we not going to fight, or we not going to get kicked out of here. But it's like she disrespected him, and I'm guessing the husband was like, oh, damn. Just shut up, Karen. Can't you see that? That me and this dude is having it out. And she ends up getting him kicked out. And LeBron, you know, I'm going to say, I know this is going to piss a lot of people off, but LeBron was very classy about the situation. He said he didn't feel like that they should have gotten kicked out. Thanks, LeBron. But, like people have verbal disputes and spatting arguments all the time, but when it comes down to a man and his wife, when it comes down to people in relationships, when a woman gets involved in, like, guys arguing, it's like, yo, now I have to take it up. Now I have to take it to an extra level. One, because it's my wife. You're not going to take me serious as a man, yo man, especially if I let another dude talk disrespectfully to you. Two, I got to get his anger and attention back to me because I don't want you to say nothing crazy. And then I got to fight this dude. Like, I don't want to take it there. Just from a personal preservation aspect, like, yo, chill. Like, I'm trying to live life, and you is messing it up for me, girl. But, yeah, man, shout out Courtside Karen. I thought that was hilarious. But just another day in the NBA. And lastly, man, before I get out of here, just a last subject. Apparently Joe Budden is moving to Patreon, which hurt my heart. I don't know how true that is. I don't know how, like, the specifics of the situation, but apparently he's moving his podcast to Patreon, which, in my personal opinion, is showing me two things. One, he's not getting the deal that he wanted, the exclusive deal that he wanted, unless this Patreon deal is an exclusive deal, which I don't think it is, because Patreon is not like a Spotify. It's not like a Google. It doesn't have subscribers. in the way that they do. Like, you're just getting content. It's like you're paying specific creators to get their content. Now, like I said, I really didn't look in this deal, so I might just be talking out my ass right now. And if I am, hey, guys over there at Joe Budden Podcast, y'all can say that I'm an idiot. Y'all can publicly flog me, and I mean, not flog me. That y'all not about to whip my ass in the public. But then I have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's sad that he might have overvalued his value, really, if nobody else is willing to give him the deal that he was looking for, or if they're really just stalling him out and like, hey, you know, we'll make you wait and then you'll eventually come back to us because you have no other choices. Like, I really hope that's not the case, because Joe Budden has a lot of loyal, awesome fans that support him, and I really hope that that continues, and I really hope that they continue to grow. But if they're going over to Patreon, and they're going to be a Patreon exclusive that you have to pay for, you got to pay to even, like, you've got a monthly pay just to get access to them. I mean, I feel like that's not a good thing for podcasting. That's not a good look for Joe Budden specifically, because he's a part of the culture, man. Like, people love hearing his voice. And if you go exclusively to a something that's behind a paywall, they call it a paywall, like you can't get access to it unless you physically pay for it, then I feel like that's very limiting. I feel like that hurts the brand, that hurts the product, and it's just alienating you from the people that want to support you. Like, hey, if it's still going to be on YouTube, hey, that's dope. Don't get me wrong, that's dope. But sometimes podcasting is better consumed audio, just through audio, and, you know, while you're doing something, just have it playing in the background. So I wish those guys all the success in the world, man. I hope that story develops and I get some more details and I can update you guys. Like, oh, yeah, Joe Budden is still going to be doing his awesome thing, and this is a special kind of deal. But, yeah, that kind of bummed me out when I first saw it. But, yeah, shouts out to those guys. Shouts out to y'all for listening, man. I'm going to get out of here, man. Please be kind. Please be dope. But more importantly, anything else, be yourself. I'll catch y'all next time. Anonymous out. Peace.